And joining us on the air today, Lance Swaggart and Pat Fraser. Good morning, all.
Good morning. How are you?
Hi there. How are you?
Good.
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 And so, we are, this is the second program where you've joined us, Pat. Thank you so much for being a part of of this happening, and another look at some principles around biodynamic farming. And I know we have a couple of topics to cover, but I wondered if we could just start with, I went back and reviewed your show or your interview last week, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wondered if there's, I mean, in essence, you're doing an organic gardening process, right? Using compost and
right.
non-chemical kinds of insect control and that kind of thing.
Right.
Do you have a way to maybe give us a synopsis of how it might be distinctive biodynamics versus what would that be, regular organic gardening or something? Regular?
Waggler?
Regular.
A little synopsis would be that, the biodynamic gardening method looks at balancing a little bit more in depth than the organic method does. In terms of soil health, it's very similar to the organic method, looking at the soil as a living organism and looking at being able to support that living organism with its various beneficial microbial growth, et cetera. However, when we look at the issue of balance, the biodynamic farming and gardening method looks at balancing processes in the soil. And so we look at processes that go on in the soil that have to do with elemental processes on Earth, such as the air, fire, earth, and water elements. And so there are special ways that we look at that using planting calendar times, using different preparations that are made from plants that are ubiquitous in nature, such as chamomile, yarrow, valerian. And those plants have a special intelligence that biodynamic farmers and gardeners use to their advantage to balance soil health. And so that's a little bit different than organics, because what we're looking for is to draw up nutrients that are actually present in the soil, but can be stimulated by these particular homeopathic dilutional qualities in our preparation.
So okay.
It's a little bit more in-depth than organic, but it sure is real, real similar in terms of supporting soil health as an organism.
Okay. So, for example, when you say balance, can you... when you're balanced in terms of the elements, so is that similar to Chinese medicine?
Similar, very similar, in fact, yes. And so a real simple balance that we propose in biodynamics is the balance between proliferative growth, the kind of growth that happens in spring where everything puts on lots of leafy canopy and grows really fast and puts on a lot of green matter, versus the growth that leads us to ripening and the end of the cycle. And there's two very specific preparations that we apply to the soil for the proliferative growth, and to the atmosphere for the ripening and fruiting growth. So that's the polarity of balance in a very simplistic way that we try to stimulate in biodynamics using the preparations that we spray.
Okay.
On the soil.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. All right. So then my understanding was we were going to talk about pruning and trees or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you guys had planned something, so.
Well, we mentioned talking about the tree bark paint.
Okay.
Since we're pruning, and you might have to paint the big cuts, or you might find some bark that's damaged, or just do it just to help the tree.
Right. So there's a biodynamic preparation called biodynamic tree paste that can be made using the biodynamic preparations in combination with cow manure and clay and a little bit of a silica preparation and the compost preparations. And that tree paste then is absorbed through the cuts in the bark that we make, or even when bark gets chipped away or cracks because of weathering or because of water variations in during the season, you can apply this tree paste as you're pruning to all parts of the tree, and the absorption through the cambium will stimulate the tree to heal its wounds and also provides a little bit of nutrition. Because the tree paste is balanced with those two polarities that I spoke of a second ago, the tree also gets two impulses to assist in its proliferative growth in the early season as well as its ripening in the later season. So the tree paste is another tool, a biodynamic tool that we use in this time of year when we're pruning.
And is the paste universal to each tree, or do you make a special paste for each kind of fruit tree?
No, it's universal to each tree. So any tree can be painted with it.
And what are some of the ingredients in it?
Cow manure, which is a little bit overwintered and weathered. Clay, which you can use either our native clay that you dig from native stores, or you can use kaolin clay, which you can buy from pottery. And then those two are pretty much equal parts, and then they're mixed with water to provide a substance that's a little like paste or a little even a little more watery. And then a set of the compost preparations that we use to make biodynamic compost preparations is added to that, or a unit of barrel compost, which is another preparation. Either one can be used. And that's mixed up in quantity sufficient for whatever orchard that you're pruning, would be it a home orchard, or you can actually mix it in huge quantities and spray it in a commercial orchard. And then there's a little bit of silica added, which is the biodynamic preparation 501, or you can utilize the horsetail tea as the liquid, and that provides the silica action. So it's a balanced preparation. I make it every spring, and I make it available to friends and neighbors, whoever needs to use it. It's very, very nice healing paste to put on trees.
And does it also work for trees that are ill?
Mm-hmm. Shade trees that might have a problem, or trees that may be infected with the Ips beetle, like evergreen trees. You can put it on those oozing wounds that you see with the Ips beetle trees, and it does help to slow it down. It doesn't help to stop them. There's really no good control for them, but it will definitely provide some nutrition to the trees of any kind.
And I noticed on an aspen tree, it looks like it's a small tree that's, we're trying to get to grow fully, so it's been protected behind the fence and all that. And I noticed yesterday that there are places along the branch where it looked like it swallowed marbles.
Mm-hmm.
They're swollen.
Mm-hmm.
There's no ooze. There's no... is that paste something that would help that too, you think, in terms of strengthening?
It could. I would say that disease in the aspen tree is fairly common, and we usually use horsetail tea on that because horsetail tea has an antifungal quality to it as well as some stimulus towards silica. So it will hopefully slow down those swelling. I think they're called galls in that tree.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and it would help. I'm not sure if there's other natural methods of slowing that down, but aspens have a tough go here that when they get a little low out of their elevation.
Hey, Pat, is it the horsetail, there's the male plant and the female plant, which one are you using?
We use the horsetail that is Equisetum arvens, which is the one that is growing along all our stream banks, and it looks like a scouring rush, or if you used your cosmic imagination, it looks like a comet. It turned upside down. But it doesn't matter whether it's the male or female. It's the species, Equisetum arvens.
Okay. That long reed type one, then.
Yeah, and it's the one that puts out the little fine branches from its center core. There are several species of Equisetum. Some of them look like bamboo. It's not that one. It's the one that puts out something that looks more like a scouring rush.
Okay.
All right, great. And so is that so that horsetail tea and you know this with this gall on the aspen? So that would be painted on the outside. Would you also pour it so it could be brought in through the root system into the interior of the plant?
Exactly. You can also use it as a ground drench. In that application, we usually ferment the tea for a couple of weeks until it kind of gets a characteristic sulfury smell.
Uh-huh.
And then that's a great ground application for diseases that affect trees. And you can just put it all around the base of the tree as well as you can put it on the tree.
All right, great.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, well, again, we really, really appreciate both of you being here and so freely and openly sharing your knowledge and information with our listeners. I want to remind the listeners that we do archive these programs on kvnf.org and under the short programs feature and as the worm turns there. And there's also a space there for you to leave any questions that you might have. And we also very much appreciate that as well. All right. Well, thank you all.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
All right. Have
Bye.
A great day.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye.